Welcome to the Filmmaker Mixer Podcast, the podcast by filmmakers for filmmakers. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined alongside my co-host, Jeff, as always. Jeff and I are writers and directors and passionate about the art of storytelling. Filmmaker Mixer is a creative hub where aspiring and established filmmakers come together to share experiences, insights, strategies, and inspiration. Today we have on director of the movie Two Witches, Pierre Sigourides, and returning actor who stars in the film, Rebecca Kennedy.
Hello, everybody. This is the Filmmaker Mixer podcast, and today we are chatting with two of the folks behind the horror film Two Witches. We have director Pierre Sigourides and actress Rebecca Kennedy. We actually had Rebecca on a previous episode of the Filmmaker Mixer. It was season 2, episode 1, and in that episode, we did a deep dive into the craft of acting, so I highly recommend you go back and check that episode out, especially if you're a young actor trying to make the move to LA or learn more about the craft. Rebecca did a great job on that show, so definitely go back and check it out. But today we are talking about the new film, Two Witches. So Pierre and Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. We're excited.
So Pierre, since Rebecca's been on the show before, I want to throw this first question out to you. I'm curious how you got interested in filmmaking and storytelling and directing. So how did that start for you? Were you interested as a kid or a teenager? How did it happen?
I got really interested in it from, I think, as long as I can remember. My parents, my mom and my dad, they would be very into, telling me stories. My dad is Greek, so he would give me like all those mythological stories and, like ancient Greece war stories and everything. And my mom is just like, this really avid reader, and she reads like a novel every 2 weeks, So storytelling was always something very present, I would say, in my life. And then I, started to play with my toys when I was a kid. I would play with like Legos and like Playmobiles and stuff like that. And I would just tell myself stories. And from that moment, then after that, discovering movies, discovering like this way of telling stories through images. And then, then I get to have like a little, camcorder that was like 1990, probably 7 or 8. So, like really, old camcorders. And that was it. I think that was it. That was like I knew at that time that that's what I wanted to do, tell stories with images and stuff.
And when did you decide to make it a career?
So I actually went to music school after finishing high school, because I, as a teenager, I got into music a lot. But then quickly, the thought of making music a career felt wrong to me, or felt like a little too, not right. And that's why I just like the filmmaking urge just came back in my very early 20s. And I decided, I should just give it a shot to do filmmaking.
I'm curious, what was the genesis of the idea for Two Witches? I know you wrote it along with two other writers, and curious like how the collaboration process was on just getting it off the ground.
My friend Max, who's the executive producer and produced on Two Witches, he had seen my short, I Who Have No One, that was like a horror comedy short, and he wanted to do a horror film as well. So he was like, oh, I saw your short, we should just do a horror film. And so then we were just brainstorming ideas. We were like, oh, should we do, what kind of, path should we go towards? Should we do something supernatural or not, blah, blah, blah. And so the witch theme came fairly fast, because I had some good stories about witches that either my mom would have told me or some people. I don't know how, but that's how I was exposed to like some stories about witches that I thought were really cool. And I had like a bunch of little vignettes. So I was like, oh, let's just try to brainstorm and try to, make sense of everything and put everything together. That's pretty much how it, started.
And how did Rebecca get involved? Did you two know each other before you did this shoot, or did you just find her through auditioning?
I was introduced to Rebecca through Christina Klebe, who knew her. And when Christina and I, we were discussing the project, that was like September. It must have been September 2019. And we started shooting in December or something like that. So anyways, she was like studying the script, like highlighting things and being like, all right, so this character could do this, that. One day she called me, she said, oh, you know what? I think I found the perfect person for this character. And then I said, oh, okay, well, and then she showed me the IMDb and I saw Rebecca's IMDb and I was like, oh, I think you're right. And that's pretty much how I got to, you know, connected with Rebecca.
Yeah.
And Rebecca, how did you prepare for the role once you got it? And how did Pierre help you in the collaboration process?
Yeah. So when I first read the script, I was really intrigued. I've never played, a true villain like that. And so I thought it would be really fun to kind of, you know, get to stretch those acting muscles and also figure out, you know, from a grounded standpoint of how she operated and not just, you know, the fun of it, but also like where she's coming from. So a lot of my preparation was figuring out how I could relate to her, because obviously, like, I like to say I'm not a witch. I can't you know, I don't have powers, and if I did, I hopefully wouldn't use them for evil. But, you know, I definitely can relate to her feeling lonely, her feeling lost, her feeling like no one really notices her, people thinking she's strange, you know, kind of feeling on the outside. Those are things I think a lot of us can relate to at some aspect, you know, at some time in our lives. So I connected to those things first of what it would be like to really just desperately want attention. And, you know, she has a roommate, Rachel, played by Christina, who has a boyfriend that loves her, who has, you know, a mom that calls a lot and is involved in her life and just, you know, has a great job. And Masha just sees all these things that Rachel has that she desperately wants. So when she gets the powers, then it's like, okay, now she can actually do, you know, now she can actually take over Rachel's life because she can actually do that with what she's got now. So I kind of started there and then, you know, was able to layer the fun on it. And Pierre helped a lot with things I should watch, things, references of like what other films he's inspired by, helping me a lot on set with the faces and figuring out what would work and what was too much and what and not enough, and you can go further or whatever, because I'm really, you know, kind of flying blind on that kind of stuff. So he was really great at figuring out what was scary and what would work.
I'm curious, Pierre, did Rebecca bring something to the table that you didn't expect?
I think Rebecca just got the idea of the role like perfectly on the first day on set. I was really surprised actually to she knew she had like cornered exactly what the character was all about. So for me, it was more like she said, just putting her in space, you know, like in the scene, like in the shots, and like making her look the way she needs to look, but the essence of what she was bringing was already there. I will say, I did not expect her to come up with those faces, you know, that naturally, I would say. I remember the first day, I was like really, really surprised and convinced. I was like, oh my God, this is working. You know, this is arguably working even better than I thought it was gonna work.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, if anything, initially, the character, when I thought of Masha's character, I thought of someone who was a little bit more overly like intimidating. Maybe I thought of her as like a more intimidating from the get-go. And I think Rebecca added more nuance where she could really be very intimidating and then be like this very kind of like meek and downtrodden person, and then go back to someone very, you know, like, like visually scary and dominant, but then go back to something, you know, a lot more weak and harmless, where it's just deceivingly harmless.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I think if that was like the main thing that I was really happy with Rebecca, like bringing that to the table.
Oh, thank you.
Building off something Rebecca said previously about you, Pierre, giving her kind of what horror films to watch to influence her, I saw a description of the film describing it as a horror film made by horror fans for horror fans. So obviously, I'm sure a lot of horror films influenced both Pierre, you directing the film, and then Rebecca, your performance. I'm curious, maybe Rebecca first, what were those films for you, and then Pierre next?
Personally, for me, I mean, probably a very cliche answer, but like Carrie, you know, was definitely an influence the film made.
Yeah.
And not, you know, not copying their performances by any means, but just those, you know, women in those roles that take a lot of risks, that really, you know, put themselves out there, willing to go to look ugly, willing to, you know, really dive deep into a place. And that isn't always, I say ugly, I don't mean just physically, but also, you know, not super attractive as a person. And they're really, really willing to just jump and dive off the deep end. And those films particularly really gave me that kind of permission to say, hey, like, let's just see what happens. Let's go there and just see what works. I love those films regardless, but that definitely helped.
Yeah, I love those films too. For me, I would say the films, May, and we don't talk about May as much when we mention Two Witches, but it's actually a good movie to compare it to. I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember I got inspired by it subconsciously quite a bit, because when I remember it now, I'm like, yeah, this movie, I remember leaving a big mark on me. I would say my films then to add to Rebecca, because Carrie and May are really like centered on these two women characters that kind of snap, right? It's like this long we expect them to, you know, to become violent and cause mayhem everywhere. The films, me, I was like, okay, so we have these two, but then how can we make them with a universe with more of like the witches trope and the witch, like the ambiences and the atmosphere. So obviously there's like movies like the like Suspiria, obviously, The Conjuring, a lot of the new Suspiria, I will say, also the remake of 2018 also that played a big role for me, especially in like those dream sequences and those like fast edits and those like very enigmatic imagery that, you know, that kind of makes sense when they're all put together, but they're still very sensory and it's more about how they make you feel rather than what they actually tell, you know, those shots, those sequences that I think there is in Two Witches as well. In the general trope of the witch, like it was like the very old-fashioned, scary old witch. So that's obviously a lot of that. It could be like The Conjuring or The Witch or even kind of like Hereditary, stuff like that. And then I would say to just add the hue, the tone, the you know, self-aware of its campiness type of approach, then I have, you know, movies like The Evil Dead that I love, Drag Me to Hell that I love even more than Evil Dead, actually. You know, these movies that are kind of like over the top, that are kind of like B movie, you know, pizza and beer midnight movies that I just sprinkle all over, if that makes sense.
Sure, that makes sense. And since you mentioned the humor aspect of it, I'm curious, Rebecca, how do you balance terror and if there's humor in the script, even if it's subtle, you know, sometimes it's a very subtle thing that's going on for the audience, but how do you as an actress try to balance those moments, or do you even think about it? Is it just a subconscious way you interpret the character?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I try not to play up the comedy, right? Even if, you know, it's supposed to be kind of funny. I always come as an actor, I always come at it as grounded, as serious as I can, that this is, you know, these are people that are in, you know, these situations, and for them, it's very real. And then, you know, right before we roll, I just kind of remind myself in my head, like, oh, this part's funny, you know, so that I'm not playing it and I don't worry too much about it as far as like, because on set, you know, it's, you never kind of know if something is going to be funny or not. I really didn't know how things were going to land until we watched it with an audience. And then there were things that were funny that I didn't expect to be, that, you know, didn't feel funny on set, but then translated really well to an audience. So, you know, you kind of never know what will kind of work, but I try not in these situations, because it's not a overtly a comedy in that sense. I'm just worried more about like playing it real. And when you play it real, and you're in it, That's usually when it's funny versus when an actor knows it's funny and is playing that, if that makes sense.
So you were, you didn't want the character to be in on the joke, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, when
that's smart,
right? Like at the beginning, when she's having the conversation with Rachel, in the bathroom, and she has a line about, you know, just sleeping with everybody. She uses a different term, of course, but, you know, the audience often like laughs at that line, and it's when we were doing it, it didn't like, I wasn't like making a joke, but because I think because like, she's very serious about it. That's what makes it funny. You know,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Hey, Pierre, I want to circle back to you. You know, back to the aesthetic of the film. I was reading in an article that you're really influenced by the giallo, you know, European exploitation films. And I'm curious what it is about that aesthetic that appeals to you and how you tried to infuse that into this project.
I think initially I kind of realized my style was that, like, that very, in a very subconscious way. I didn't go out, you know, out there and be like, all right, I'm gonna be very conscious about trying to do this that way or this way. Initially, I, for example, if I will, you know, rely a lot on like zooms and like punch-ins and stuff like that. Initially, it was because first I didn't have a lot of, you know, gripping equipment and, you know, dollies and camera movements available for me. So I would have like just one big heavy camera, and I would be like, okay, so I'm going to have to tell more things with less. So the zoom lens for that is quite a powerful tool. And then from that, I would just rely on the things I've watched that have a lot of zooms, you know, and then quickly you go back to a 70s type of like reference and feel fairly easily. Maybe because I grew up in Europe, so I've been exposed to a lot of European films, maybe more than, you know, the average person in America. So I think it's just released through my creativity quite naturally when it comes to filming the actors, you know, not being afraid to show certain reactions that usually people, you know, don't, you know, do like crazy close-ups. Because I think like Italian cinema for this was really focused on like the Dario Argento films or the Mario Bava or Fulci, all these people. They were really into making it sensory, like I said, very making it, the violence needed to be extra violent. It needs to be like extra over the top. The close-ups were like super close-up, or the colors were if they were like saturated. It was like very about making it like extra, but with less in a way. I don't know. I guess I've been like just bathed in that. Which is funny because I don't necessarily watch more giallos than other horror films. You know, I just think that there's some particular camera like work, and the DPs, like the Italian DPs, they were like really high end DPs that would, you know, work on these smaller horror films that I think it's not as common in other countries, where the very low budget horror films have just, they don't have like really, really high end DPs all the time. You know, it's more like, but like, I felt like there was more, it was like horror, but like treated as sometimes a fashion shoot or like a fashion, you know what I mean?
Right.
And
very stylized.
So trying to make it beautiful, trying to make something a very disgusting imagery, but trying to make it beautiful regardless. So that's kind of like what I tried to do at the end, you know, with this, like this kind of like Sabbath, and they're all, you know, doing like ridiculous over the top faces, but I'm trying to make it like nightmarish, but like still a pretty nightmare in a way. That's, I guess, would be the European influence, you know, trying to make things pretty, but still trying to make the ugly pretty. That's
a good way to put it. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's a way to put it. I'm brainstorming out loud right now. So,
yeah. For Rebecca, were you ever genuinely frightened while filming a scene? And also, as an actor, how do you manage to separate yourself from the character's emotions after a scene or after you're done filming, like the project?
Oh, that's great. Not too scared when we were filming, just because it's just so technical and silly a lot of times when you're working. Like, I remember there's a scene where, you know, I do something with my hand and a candle blows out, And it's like, if only people could see somebody on the side with a with a board that's like blowing it out, you know, like trying to get it to blow out. So a lot of times, you know, people give a lot of crap to horror sometimes, or horror actors, but it's some of the most difficult genre to work in, because so much of it is your imagination, or it's just you being in these ridiculous situations and having to play it straight. So I always give a lot of kudos to anyone that can do horror, or in, you know, being in horror movies, because it's very difficult. As far as how do I kind of get out of it? Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I'm not someone that's like method in the sense that I need to be the character, you know, even at lunch or all the time. I definitely am in and out. When I'm doing a scene, I tend to stay in it as long as the scene is happening until we move on to the next scene. And while I'm shooting a project, I tend to kind of stay in it while we're shooting, as far as like when I'm home. Not that I'm still the character, but there's still thoughts moving. There's still things that
that must be fun fun for your family when you're home, if you're still the witch character.
I think my husband would tell me, but you know, you're just being influenced still by things that you're around, because you're still in her, and so you're looking at it, things through a different lens, and allowing yourself to be, have things happen. And so then when I'm wrapped and, you know, I'm done, I have a really, you know, kind of, I guess, silly, but, or, you know, beautiful, depending on how you look at it, ritual of saying goodbye to a character and, you know, thanking them for their time and what I've, you know, learned from them, and like how I've grown as a person, as an actor, and kind of just putting them away. And then it allows me to kind of move on.
So I'm curious, when you said you were still, how did you put it? You said you were still in the I'll just rephrase it my way. You said you were kind of still in the zone of the character, even when you're offset, while the shoot's still going on.
Right.
Is that a conscious effort, or is it just sort of a subconscious mood that you're in? It sounds like you're still studying the character.
Right.
And I'm curious about that. Can you unpack that a little bit for me? I'm curious about
I think it's kind of a mix. I don't think I'm necessarily always like consciously doing it. But like SVU, I did an episode of Law and Order SVU, and that's a great example. I was shooting in New York for 2 weeks, you know, I was alone, you know, after we would wrap, you know, it was long days. So they'd take me back to my hotel. I was alone. I would eat dinner, you know, take a shower, but subconsciously eating dinner and taking a shower were two things that my character couldn't do. You know, that particular character was malnourished. Her family didn't feed them. They didn't allow them to shower but once every so often. And so it was like those things were still ruminating. Like eating dinner was really a special thing for, because not everybody gets to do that. Or having hot water.
That's interesting.
You know, was really something that she didn't get to have, luxury she didn't have. And so those things are always just kind of like there, as long as I'm still kind of in them, if that makes sense.
No, that's really interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, always just letting yourself be sensitive to things. Just then things come to you. And that's when you, you know, when surprises happen, and that's the best.
For either one of you, let's just go Pierre first and then Rebecca. Do you believe that horror movies have the power to reflect and comment on societal fears and anxieties, or just have more heavy themes? And if so, how do you incorporate them into your filmmaking for Pierre and then your performance for Rebecca?
Yeah, well, first, the answer I think is yes. I think horror films allow us to tackle, you know, issues and problems that are sometimes quite sensitive or heavy, or not even, it's like these extreme situations of horror films, they actually help us step back and, you know, use metaphors and use overly, like I said, over the top situations to actually shed light on problems that could be, you know, like that dramas or comedies can talk about as well. I think it just takes a smart distance, and we can put them and talk about them in a different way. I think it's another way, I think, or it's just another way to cope with things. It's not for everybody, but it's definitely a good way for a lot of creators and a lot of audiences to exercise or to see the problems of society, you know, and be able to navigate them, I would say. What was the question again? Was that the question?
Yeah. No, yeah, that was it.
Yeah, that was the question. No, it's, I know sometimes when you're answering, you're like, am I even answering the question at all?
Yeah. I'm like, where's my brain going? But yeah, I think just to, in a nutshell, I think horror can talk about very smart things, and it's not a genre for like stupid people. That's my point. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, the horror, you know, there's the popcorn side of the horror. There's the story that gets you in the seat, but then, you know, you can talk about, you know, deeper issues sometimes, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And Rebecca, did you think about, you know, thematics like that in terms of developing the character or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because the same, I agree with Pierre 100%, because you can really, I mean, you can deal with depression, you can deal with loneliness, you can deal with on the brink of feeling like you, you know, are so lost in this world, and you can deal with all those things without saying it. Right? It doesn't have to be a movie about depression. It doesn't have to be a movie about feeling lost and lonely, but you know that those characters feel that. And then it's like, then they're stuck into a horror world. And then people somehow relate to things or attach to things, and they don't necessarily even know why always. Maybe sometimes it's more overt, more obvious. And then sometimes themes are less so, but people are still moved by it or love this character, or for whatever reason. You know, you have like films like Babadook, who clearly deals with postpartum depression, you know, things like that, but it doesn't say it, you know, it doesn't, like, it's not a movie about that, but that's what it's dealing with, you know? So I love that you can take these themes and as an actor, you can deal with real things as well and have them infused in a character. And then you have on top of it, they're running for their lives or whatever it may be, which is a really, that's why it's, you know, horror, I think, is difficult. It's not an easy genre to be in as a filmmaker or as an actor, because there are all those facets you have to hit. And nowadays it's even harder and harder to scare audiences. So that, you know, has a whole nother layer.
And also, I think the same goes for an audience. You can process harder things to talk about by doing it through the escapism of a horror movie, if that makes sense. So I think it's also, it can also be a cathartic experience for the audience, because you can talk about these deep issues, but they don't feel that close or that scary because you're caught up in the horror movie. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You know, jumping over to something not quite so heavy. I'm curious, were there any, and this could be for either one of you, any funny behind the scenes kind of things that happened that, because, you know, you're in the movie, you know, in the movie, you're watching the movie, right? It's kind of like what Rebecca brought up about the candle. From an audience standpoint, you're in the zone, you're watching the movie, you're, you know, at the edge of your seat. But on set, sometimes funny stuff happens. And I'm just curious if you had any, I don't know, any funny stories like that, things that went wrong or happy accidents or anything like that.
I mean, I guess like first day for me, first scene was the opening scene of my chapter,
yeah,
the sex scene.
Yeah.
So that was like, hi, welcome to set. Yeah. That kind of like broke the ice, I think, far as that.
And I was like, and I was telling the SL, the makeup artist, like, all right, I need more sweat on this because for the lighting, I need more sweat. And then, yeah, that was an interesting start. But just to go back to the humor, I think what's funny about, we didn't think of the humor as like Rebecca was saying, it was not, we certainly didn't want to emphasize the humor. We didn't want to make it funny. We were just making it with the contrast, with the lines, the contrast of the acting with what the scene is actually requiring, like this kind of like this opposition of awkwardness. I knew it was going to be funny, but it was not about making it funny. It's
right.
Just the funny scene is just like it's a side effect of what the scene needs to be. The scene is like kind of like weird and over the top or this or that. And then the effect will be a little bit funny, but we were never treating it as like comedy.
Right.
And I think that's the secret for humor in horror films. Like Rebecca was saying, like her character, when she says don't move, when the guy is like levitating naked and she's like don't move, she still says it like she doesn't want the guy to move, but it's not like overly comedic, like she's not like adding stuff to the fact that the guy, you know, it's like it's more like little lies here and there that make it like impactful in the comedy aspect, but not like we don't dwell on it, you know, we just move on. And it's
well, sometimes you know, sometimes the comedy works better when it sneaks up on you in a moment of tension anyway.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially if you don't like it, kind of like is a nice relief when it's like a really intense movie and you don't, you know, and then it's like back to the intensity or whatever.
Same thing with the finger. Some people laugh at the finger that's severed. Some people think it's horrifying. Some people like a little bit in between, you know, when the guy's like, oh, I got your finger, but I'm not opening the door. And then he's like, no, the doctors, they're going to be able to fix it. You know, like, is it funny? He's certainly not thinking about anything funny, Ian, the actor, when he was delivering the line. But then some people think it's funny because he just severed his girlfriend.
The way he said it was like, you know,
and he's holding the finger, but he doesn't want to open the door. But like, is it really funny though? Is it funny from a kind of like a audience perspective, or in our safe seat? It's kind of funny. But if that happens to you, none of this is funny. You know what I mean?
And a lot of sometimes people it's the same thing as like people laugh at funerals, not because it's funny, but because like
it's just nervous,
right? They're nervous, they don't know how to react.
It kind of gets back to that tension. I mean, a lot of times it's the tension that makes it funny.
And for both of you, Rebecca first, then Pierre, what are you guys up to next?
Well, we've been working on something and we're shooting something from that project next week. So we've been quite busy and you should hear about it very soon. It's another horror movie. So we were talking about humor in this movie. There's very much less humor.
Yes.
I haven't really auditioned it with people, but I might not be funny at all. It might just be straight horror. And what can I say? I think it's going to be scarier. I think it's going to be potentially even like a faster pace and more condensed horror. That's what I can say. Heavier stuff. Definitely what we were saying about, you know, how horror can tackle other issues and stuff like that. So this is this movie, I think, arguably tackles more like issues than Two Witches did. I think it's a more serious drama thriller horror movie, I would say.
Yeah.
And Rebecca's in it. She kills everything in it again.
Oh, thank you.
And it's not finished, so we're gonna do some more scenes. And I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of it when I did some ADR and it's looking really fantastic. So I'm excited for people to see it probably next year, I'm guessing, Pierre.
Yeah, hopefully next year. Max and I, we've been shooting a lot of new scenes in the movie. So from what you've seen, I think there's a lot of new stuff you haven't seen. And actually, we'll talk about this later, you and I, because we need to talk about that. But yeah, we're excited. We should be able to have it finished for like the 2024 festival run. I think that's for sure. You know, we're just like working hard. So we've been busy during after the release of Two Witches. We've been busy jumping on something else really fast. So that's what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
Two Witches will have a sequel that I think will be much better than anything else I've done before.
It'd be like Two and a Half Witches.
Yeah,
like Three Witches, Two and a Half Square,
maybe Four
Witches,
maybe
whatever.
Four Witches now.
Now right now we want to call it Bad Witches because it's gonna be a whole lot of bad witches and you just can't even count them. There's just too many. So, but Rebecca's the head of all the bad witches. So it's funny you were mentioning you have to say goodbye to some characters. You're gonna have to Say hello, hello back welcome to back her. To some
yeah, it's been, I've yeah. never really done that. So far, I've not, you know, once I played somebody, that's it. I haven't gotten to go back to someone. So that's going to be fun, is figuring out where they are now in life.
Yeah, it's gonna be about taking them further, wherever they're going. It's gonna be a lot further.
Well, keep us in the loop on that one, and you know, as it gets close to finishing, like, well, on both of them, I guess, you know, as you get close to finishing either one of them, you know, hit us up and let us know what's going on with the festivals and all that kind of stuff. Maybe we can
jump
into another deep dive on horror film.
Yeah, you guys and always meantime, ask great questions.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, and definitely let everybody know where they can find Two Witches.
Yeah, so Two Witches is on it's on Apple, it's on Amazon Prime, I think it's on YouTube. Right now it's still on VOD. It's also on the Arrow Player. But right now, if you type Two Witches movie on Google, I think it'll show you the watching options.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. Well, you know, best of luck on that project and best of luck on all your future projects. And Pierre, it was great to meet you. And Rebecca, you are officially our first regular now that we've had you on twice.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for having us back and support of the movie. We really appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah, and thank you so much. It was nice meeting you guys.
Great meeting you, and you keep us posted on everything.
We'll do. We'll do.
We will. We absolutely will.
Thank you for listening to the Filmmaker Mixer podcast, a podcast created and hosted by filmmakers Jeff Stolen and Andrew Lamping and produced by Melody Lopez.
Our theme song was composed by Stephen D. Bennett.
Make sure to follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on and stay tuned for future episodes.